Hi, I'm Kirk Evans. Welcome to part 5 of our SharePoint for Developers screencast series. In this session, we'll focus on creating a custom column, custom content type using that column, and creating lists using those content types. We'll start by creating a new project using the empty project template, and we'll call it msdan.web, use a full trust level, and we'll add in a new project item. Go down to the SharePoint node, and we'll choose list instance. And our list instance will be called videos. And the base type that we'll choose here is going to be the links type. Open up the generated instance.xml, and we'll be able to rename. So the list name here, instead of videos instance, we want it just simply to be videos. And the description is that it contains links to videos, easy enough. And we can also use the specify that it is on the quick launch. So we'll say true. And there you go. Now we can even specify data and inside our list instance. So we can use that just simply by saying data, rows, row, and specify a field in the list, and then give the value for that field. So it's that simple. Now, instead of you having to watch me type this out several times in a row, I took the liberty of cut and paste technology here. And we'll simply cut and paste. You see, it's the same thing I just showed you. It's simply for three different rows. In each row, there are two fields, the URL and the comments. In the URL, I give a URL, and the comments, specify a comment. And these are the items that are already existing on Channel 9's website. So instead of you having to watch me type these URLs, easier just to paste. But it's pretty simple and straightforward. So the next thing is we want to add in a new item here. And the item will be a field control. And we'll call our new field control called timecode. And the reason we want to do this is because our field is going to have specific formatting requirements. So when we created that, VSC WSS, Visual Studio Extensions for Windows SharePoint Services, created this template code for us. And we get a class here called timecode field that derives from SP field text. And so what we'll do is simply override a method in here to say we want to get the get validated string. So inside the get validated string method, we'll scroll down a little bit. We'll override get validated string. And that passes in the value as an object. So instead of getting the value as an object, we'll change it into a string here, so a value.toString. And then we'll check to see if this is a required field, and check to see if the string is null or empty. So there we go, string.isNull or empty. Check the input value. So if it's required and they didn't give me a value, throw a new SP field validation exception. This field is required. And so it's that easy to perform validation. And so what we'll do is we'll add in another validation here using a regular expression. And then the regex we'll say is equal to new regex. And we'll look for the beginning of the string. We'll look for two decimals followed by a colon. And we'll look for that pattern several times. So two decimals, colon, two decimals, colon, two decimals, colon. Oh, no, not a colon here. Now we want a period and then seven decimals. So 2, 2, 2, period, and then seven. And then we'll look for the end of the string. That's the extent of my regex skills. Now we'll check to see if this is a match. And we'll look for the input. And if it's not a match, throw an exception. And the exception is just going to tell the user, here's the format that we expected. Timecode must be in the form hour, hour, minute, minute, second, second, period, 7 millisecond characters. I chose that format simply because that's the default serialization format of the time span at type in .NET. Now I'll add a new item here. And our item, since we defined a field control, next thing we want to add here is a content type. Our content type will be annotation type. And we'll look here and we'll see we can define several different types that we could choose from, the announcement type or discussion document. Instead, we'll just use the default item type. And that's kind of a generic type. And So we'll open that generated XML up, scroll down and see the VSE WSS has already generated some XML for us to make this a lot easier on us. And notice that it already has a name, so we'll change that to a column called annotation ID, another one called annotation ID, and now we get the friendly user display name, so we could put a space in that, say that this field is required, and now we need to go up to this field refs section. We'll uncomment the field ref, and notice that it has two attributes, ID and name. So first we'll grab the name and we'll splat that in there, and now make sure that the GUIDs match. They do. VSE WSS generated that for me. So now I'll create another field. And this field, and instead of specifying the ID, I'm going to hold off on that in just a second. We're going to use one of the predefined types here called URL. Notice that the schema already has defined here. And John Holliday did a great job with the CAML.NET IntelliSense project by annotating the schema to make it easier for us to look at this. So I'm using that. And the type is equal to URL, so where we can get the ID from is if you go into the 12 hive under template, layouts, and under layouts, under features, there's folder fields, and there's a file fields WSS. Pop that open, and we'll look for quote URL quote. And inside the file, we'll see that that field has been defined, and that it has this GUID. So we'll just select that GUID, copy, go back over to our content type XML file, and paste. So what this says is we want the field that WSS has already defined using that ID. And now we can specify some other properties, like the name is equal to MediaPath. And the internal name, I don't want it to have any spaces. Display name, though, the user-friendly one, we can put a space in there. And we'll also say static name is equal to MediaPath, whether it is required or not. So we'll say that it is required, is equal to true. And sealed, and we'll just say sealed is equal to false, be consistent with the other values. And now, remember that we defined our own timecode field? What we want to do here is consume that. So hold off on the ID. If we look at the type, if we look at the schema, it does not define timecode because we just defined that. That's our custom type. So we need to figure out where to go find that. And where that's defined is inside the code that we just wrote a moment ago. So open up that bit of code, scroll up, and notice that it has the class name here is called timecode field. So there we are. We'll just copy the class name, timecode field, paste. And now the ID, we'll just go back and we'll grab the GUID from the top of the class using the GUID attribute. So we'll grab that value here, go back over to our content type definition, put in squiggly braces, and paste the value. And now WSS, SharePoint, needs to know where does it look up this timecode field type. We'll tell it the source ID is equal to here. And it uses the same exact GUID value. And now to save a little bit of time, I'm going to copy some pre-existing attributes here. So I'll go up and grab the name, display name, static name required, sealed. Copy. Go back down here, paste it, and a little bit of formatting. Sorry about that. And then we'll create the field's name will be timecode, display name timecode with a space, static name timecode. And that's it. We just defined a content type. Now that we've defined the fields in the content type, let's go up and define the field refs. So we'll say field ref is equal to each one of these. Splat, splat. And now we'll go grab the values from the fields we just defined. So we defined a field here with this GUID. Paste. There we go. And now we'll give the name to be consistent, MediaPath. Next one is minimize those. Grab the GUID from our custom timecode field. Paste it in there, make sure it matches, and provide the name as timecode. So there we go. We now have defined our content type. Now we want to create a list definition using that content type. So SharePoint already defines a project item template here called list definition from content type. And we'll call that annotation list. say add, and it allows us to choose from the existing annotation type we just created a moment ago. And there's only one, so we can select and see there's only one. So we want to make sure to check this create an instance of this list checkbox right here. And then we'll select OK. And that'll create some assets for us. The first asset will be the instance definition. So open up the instance.xml, and that's where I have the instance, and say that we want a list called annotations. So we'll get rid of the pre-generated list instance thing here and just call it annotations. Specify the URL, it's at list/annotations. And then we'll specify the description, contains annotations for media elements. And we'll also say that it does appear on the quick launch. Next is there's this file called schema.xml that the SEWSS generated for us. Pop that open, and we'll minimize all of the outlining. And that allows us to kind of seek through and say that we can, under list metadata, there's an element called views. View ID with a base view ID 1, that happens to be the default. So if we expand that view, underneath that we can see that it defines an element called view fields. When you open a list for the first time, the default view, this is where it defines the columns that you see. So instead of just attachments and the title, I want to add in a couple more field refs here. So you can guess which ones we're going to put. First one we're going to add here is going to be called field ref, and the first one we'll have is called annotation ID. And say OK. Next one that we'll create is going to be our media path. And finally, the time code. So the title was already defined for us. Annotation ID, media path, time code are the ones that we added, our custom ones. So now that we defined list instances, the list instance will create an instance of the list, even pre-populate it with data like we showed before. But when you deactivate the feature, it doesn't clean it up automatically. So we're going to do that here. Add a using statement, make the class public, and derive it from a type called SP feature receiver. Implement the abstract class, and now get rid of the default not implemented exception. There you go. And in the feature deactivating, it for each one of these methods, it passes in SP feature receiver properties and a parameter called properties. So what we're going to do is cast that to a type called SP web. So it's activated at the SP web level. If null does not equal to the site, so SP web being a specific site, if a site is not null, then list is equal to site.lists, and we'll look for our annotations list. Now if that list is not already null, we'll simply delete it, list.delete. I probably should create a separate feature receiver for each list that I created an instance for. I created one for annotations, one for videos. In the interest of time, I'm going to simply copy and paste and reuse the same one and use that to delete the videos list. Again, I probably should have done this on two different feature receivers, but don't have to. And then CLS compliant. Now it exposes some types that are not CLS compliant, so we'll specify CLS compliant false, and that gets rid of the green squigglies. And now we'll go to the we'll open up our WSP view here, and we'll look for one of the features that's already defined. So we'll look for the videos feature. We'll scroll down. There we are. And open up its feature.xml. And now we'll reformat that so you can see all the different attributes. And notice here that we can do things like describe the description. So we showed that in a previous screencast where we could say, here's a description. You could even do an image URL, and we'll just say features for video list. We can also specify this thing called the receiver class, which is msdn.web.list feature receiver, and then the assembly. Where do you find that type? Where you find that type is msdn.web.version is equal to 1.0.0.0, culture is equal to neutral, and specify the public key token. Previous screencast, I showed how to use the sn.exe utility in the .NET framework. I've already mapped that here to an external tool called get public key token in my Visual Studio environment. And that simply will just call the sn.exe utility with a dash tp switch that will allow me to dump out the public key token out to the output. So we'll call that. Grab the public key token here. And copy and paste. That allows it to look up that assembly in the global assembly cache. Now we'll just build and deploy. See that it VSCWSS will validate the solution, create the solution, deploy the solution, activate all the features, recycle the application pool. And now my debugger is attached, so demo user, specify my password. And see over here on the quick launch that it actually did create our lists. There's one called videos. And notice that the videos list does have our three rows in it of the data that we primed it with in our definition. And then we go to annotations. Notice that the default view has the columns in it, the fields that we defined. If I select new, they are required, like we specified in the content type. We specified some text for each one of these, a URL for the media path, and the time code. Let's give it a bogus value. Hit OK, and that's going to hit our breakpoint inside the getValidatedString method, and we'll be able to step through this and see that it fails our regex validation, so we're going to toss an exception back. Catch that, we hit F5 to continue, and it shows up inside the UI as a validation exception. Now we give it a proper value, 00000003.1234567, say OK. This time it passes our regex, goes through just fine, creates a new item. Why this is cool is because notice that I have these columns already defined in the content type. So I can say create and say custom lists and select the annotation list definition that we already had. Specify blah as the new list name and hit create. And it automatically will use that content type, create the list, and default view and everything already has the columns in it. We're going to list into the site settings. And I can also see that I have content types defined, so I can reuse the content type itself on other lists. I can say, here's the annotation type, and see that the columns are in it. That means I can attach workflows or documents. Even the site column definitions that we had, those are reusable as well. So instead of just creating these items, these assets once, I can go down and look at the timecode field, that it is an actual of type timecode field. You can see that about the third line of text there. And that's it. You can see there really wasn't that much code involved to create our own custom column definition, content type, and list instances. For more information, visit my blog at blogs.msdn.com/kaevans. Thank you very much for watching.